So it's wonderful verses now. Pandava Singh has retired timely. And they're remembering Krishna Smaranam. We have to remember him all the time. And actually, it's in their remembrance that that will bring them close and back to Krishna. Because, you know, it's a wonderful thing about the senses. If we remember in the right way, you know, we can remember our breakfast or we can remember our Bhagavatam. But it's interesting, the way, but now we're in Bhagavatam, so... and I've got to try and remember that myself. I'm a victim of my senses, alas and alack. And here, this wonderful verses now bring us in contact with Krishna. And it says that where Krishna is, Maya cannot enter. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It was by his translation. It was by his influence only that in a fight I was able to astonish the personality of God, Lord Shiva, and his wife, the daughter of the Mount Himalaya. Thus he, Lord Shiva, became pleased with me and awarded me his own weapon. Other demigods also delivered their respective weapons to me, and in addition, I was able to reach the heavenly planets in this present body and was allowed a half-elevated seat. Purport. By the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, all the demigods, including Lord Shiva, were pleased with Arjuna. The idea that one who is favored by Lord Shiva or any other demigod may not necessarily be favored by the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Ravana was certainly a great devotee of Lord Shiva, but he could not be saved from the wrath of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra. And there were many other instances like that in the histories of the Puranas. But here is an instance where we can see that Lord Shiva became pleased even in a fight. In the fight with Arjuna, the devotees of the Supreme Lord know how to respect demigods, the demigods. But the devotees of the demigods sometimes foolishly think that the personality of Godhead is no longer, no greater than the demigods. By such a conception, one becomes an offender, and ultimately he meets the same end as Ravana and others. The instances described by Arjuna during his friendly dealings with Lord Krishna are instructive for all who may be convinced by the lessons that one can achieve all favors simply by pleasing the Supreme Lord, Lord Sri Krishna. Whereas the devotees are the worshipper of the demigods, they may achieve only partial benefits, which are also perishable, just as the demigods themselves are. Another significance of the present verse is that Arjuna, by the grace of Lord Sri Krishna, was able to reach the heavenly planet, even with the selfsame body, and was honored by the heavenly demigod Indradev, being seated with him, half elevated. one can reach the heavenly planets by pious acts recommended in the Shastras and in the category of fruitive activities. And as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 9.21, when the reactions of such pious acts are spent, the enjoyer is again degraded to this earthly planet. The moon is also on the level with the heavenly planets, and only persons who have performed virtues only, performing sacrifices, giving charity, and undergoing severe austerities, can be allowed to enter into the heavenly planets after the duration of the life of the body. Arjuna was allowed to enter into the heavenly planets in the selfsame body, simply by the grace of the Lord. Otherwise, it was not possible to do so. The present attempts to enter into the heavenly planets by the modern scientists will certainly prove futile, because such scientists are not on the level of Arjuna. They are ordinary human beings without any assets of sacrifice, charity, or austerities. The material body is influenced by the three modes of material nature, namely the goodness, passion, and ignorance. The present population is more or less influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance, and the symptoms for such influence are exhibited in the becoming lusty and greedy. Such degraded fellows are hardly approach the higher planetary systems. Above the heavenly planets, there are many other planets also, which are only those who are influenced by the mode of goodness can reach. In the heavenly and other planets within the universe, the inhabitants are all highly intelligent, many more times than human beings, and they are all pious in the higher and highest mode of goodness. They are all devotees of the Lord, and although their goodness is not unadulterated, still they are known as demigods, possessing the maximum amount of good qualities possible within the material world. Om Jnanatim Randasya Jnananjana Salakeya Chakshun Milatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Taitanya Manopistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Datati Savatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapata Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganata Navitam Tam Sajevam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Navitam Cha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, here, it's continuing this wonderful remembrance of Krishna. And, of course, when there are great devotees of the Lord, they're looked upon as also worth remembering too. Recently, as Bhakti Tarusvami, a lot of remembrance is going on. But actually, it seems that somehow or other, they can stay with us in their vani, not their vapu. Their bodies leave, actually. And so Prabhupada says that Vani is the most important. And Prabhupada's left his Vani. He's the greatest example of this for ourselves in this ISKCON. And so I can remember for me once, I was getting involved with all sorts of other mats and things like that. You know, I was trying to find out, oh, you know, this person's a pure devotee. Yeah, you must go and take darshan of him. And that's true. We should, when these great souls are available, we can take darshan of them. Very nice. But there's also that thing which says, they say, oh, why don't you come over with us sometime and we'll do this and we'll do that. And that was like a period of time I had to go through, checking out things, knowing what was probably best for me and getting a good instruction. Because at first we're neophyte in our mentality. We're going like a little monkey from tree to tree. And we're going to think, this for me, this is for me. Oh, we'll go here, we'll go here. But the one thing I found in doing this, that I found that even when said, oh, you can take a nishan from, and he's Prabhupada's godbrother, so that's, you know, it's the equivalent. And I remember something told me that this is not the thing to be. It was like going into, if I was not careful, going into a barber shop and getting what I chose. And that there was no chastity. There was no, you know, and I felt at that time, no, I can't do this. You get the shaved up and there you are, you've done it. You're clean for a while. But then you have to reach a point of, and I felt that, no, it was somehow, I owed something to Prabhupada. I'd read his Bhagavad Gita. And so I had to go through a period of time. I try this, Matt, I try that, and all those sort of things. But and then I took Shiksha from the twins at Mayapur, their instruction. And I said, well, what's going on? You know, there's so many things happening now and controversies now. This was in the 90s. Who shall I stay with? What shall I do? You know, these are pure devotees and all this sort of thing. And they told me that actually you don't have to worry about all these things that are going on. They said, stick to your service, learn your service, and be fixed up in that. This will help you. And just know just a little bit more. Just concentrate on your service. And all these other things will look after themselves. They're not your business. So he said to me, mind your own business. And I had to, you know, and that's very straightforward instruction. So I needed that, actually. Simplicity. They're pure devotees. They can't stay around like they've done in Mayapur all this time and not be somebody very, very special. Somebody that's got somebody's Prabhupada's mercy. So I was fortunate. I count my blessings there. And we got great souls here and now. They're preaching like anything. And I now have a better appreciation, certainly, of what's happening here, because they're repeating this wonderful instruction from Prabhupada. He says, preaching is the essence. Preaching is it will bring you closer to Krishna. And I can remember that. I remember when I was on book table down on the Isle of Wight that it was the summertime. And there were all sorts of people wandering around, coming up to the table, and we were trying to offer them books. And then when the ladies came over, I thought, oh no, because in summer they're dressed in all sorts of clothes, and you know, and I thought, oh no, save me, save me. But anyway, When I started to explain what was in the books, it was a very interesting aspect. When I started discussing what was in the books, their bodies disappeared. Somehow or other, that because I was sharing this Krishna Katha, somehow things changed. And it was like, it's really amazing that actually that I was speaking about Krishna and somehow I was protected. That actually all of a sudden that because of my mode of passion, that somehow whatever mode I was in at the time, because I was speaking about Krishna, I was protected. And it's a very wonderful thing. So there was a lot to be learned in those early days for me. And I went through all these periods of time to get this information. And but it's a case of patience and staying chaste. Chaste in we're knowing our good fortune, what we've been given. And certainly this is what Arjuna is doing now. He's remembering his good fortune, what he got from Krishna, how everything depended on Krishna, how Krishna was his protection. And in that remembering, he was protected at all times. You know, he could do amazing things. And it was all by the influence of Lord Krishna and his permission. So whatever stage we're at the moment, it may seem maybe I haven't got Krishna Priya. I remember one of your questions about where's this Krishna Prem? It seems a far cry from where we're at, you know. But actually, Krishna Prem is a goal, but at the same time, we got to start on this journey, and there's patience is one of the virtues on this journey. That actually what you've got now is perfect. And so let's read what Prabhupada says about that. I always get the transcendental calendar, and it's a wonderful reference for Prabhupada's sayings, you know. But he gives us a clue. He gives us the clue of the essence, and if I can find it, here we go. It's December 19th, and it says, it's a letter to Jayapataka. The secret of surrendering to Krishna is such a devotee, so he says it's a secret, but the secret is that such a surrendered devotee, he sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. Whatever is meant to be, I am doing it. So let me do it with my full attention to every detail. Let me become absorbed in such service. Never mind what it is. Let all other considerations be forgotten. And only my desire to do the thing best for Krishna's alone pleasure is my motive. So a simple explanation of surrender there. It's simplicity itself. It says the secret of surrendering is that such a surrendered devotee sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. So wherever you are now, you should understand that to be perfect. We can't say, oh, you know, this shouldn't be happening to me. Oh, yes, it can. And Guru Maharaj did a lecture recently called The Victim Mentality, where we blame ourselves or we blame others. It's not a case of blame. It's situated in ourselves. Whatever we have now is being given to us by Krishna according to our quota. It's come from him. And so he says, whatever is meant to be now, is, he sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. And he says, no matter what it is, whatever is meant to be, I'm doing it. So let me do it with my full attention to every detail. Let me become absorbed in such service. Never mind what it is. Cleaning, washing pots. And I remember doing washing pots. Sutapa, I always remember him doing washing pots when he was in Pandavasena. And I see him there, a big person, and in the pot washing there. And he's very enthusiastic. It was what was very nice, what about it? But the thing is to remember that if you're washing a pot and somebody brings that pot back to you and say it's not clean, the cook can't do his job. So then he's taking it back to the pot washer. So whatever you do, do it with your full attention. Because you're not helping the cook better. He wants to be freed up. He don't want to have to keep going back. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulnand, Sri Sri Gaurinitai, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So it says, let everything be done with our full attention. Because then it's perfect. He says here, Prabhupada says, to every detail, let me become absorbed in such service. And then we'll get the nectar. The nectar is that we absorb our mind in our service and not in me, what I want to do next. I want to read next. Or I'm doing this. And so, unless you've got some other service, you should be absorbed in the present service, no matter what it is. And it says, Lord, other considerations be forgotten. Well, generally, it's either the future or the past. Mode of passion, mode of ignorance, isn't it? But actually, we have to be absorbed in the present. That's a spiritual paradigm. It's for the same for every one of us, that we have to be absorbed in what we're doing now. So he says, let me do it with my full attention to every detail. Let me become absorbed in such service. Never mind what it is. Now, what you do, when you become absorbed in your service, you're protected. You're protected from the past. You're protected from the future. Because we can't control any of them. They've done. One's done and one's coming. And one's either by our desires, I don't want to do this, or it's, I think I'll get to this next, I'll be reading next. No, we have to become absorbed in what we're doing now. Otherwise we lose that good which we may achieve by trying. To become is yoga. We're supposed to be yogis. And I remember seeing Jivapati, he did the Pujari work here for years and years, all his devotional career. And they asked him, why don't you give class? He says, I don't feel comfortable with it. So I remember the questionnaire. He said, you can practice, you'll get better at it. He said, no. He says, no, I don't feel comfortable with it. But very interesting. Because we can be like a monkey, we can go from service to service. But that's not the idea. He knew what he was doing. He'd done it for like 25 years. No, 40 years actually, when you think about it. And I saw him one day. He dressed Prabhupada in the evening, getting ready. And I saw it was like a flowing movement. It was complete concentration, tucking in here, flowing in there, knew exactly what to do with his hand, and it was just wonderful. He was a yogi. He was absorbed in what he was doing. And so all of a sudden, you start to understand that actually his service, he knew what his service was. He knew who he was. And he didn't want to be like a monkey. He knew somehow this was for him and that he could do better. And Patanjali Muni was telling me how he had a checklist every day. He said, "Why you got this huge checklist?" He says, "Because I don't trust my mind. I don't trust my mind." So he had a checklist to check himself and what, if there was anything missed. So he was absorbed in his service. That was his focus. He didn't want anything else. He knew what he wanted or what he could do. Let's put it that way. So we have to know what we can do. And this is why we're all training here, somehow or other, to find out what we can do with ourselves. And so this is, and here in these wonderful verses in Bhagavatam, we're finding out that actually that remembering is such a powerful thing, that this Smaranam, that Arjuna was remembering Krishna, but also he was remembering he now realized what it's like without Krishna, theoretically. But in that memory, he brought Krishna back to him, because that's what was saving him in the end, actually, in his despair. When he was remembering Krishna, he started to get that feeling that Krishna's with him now. That actually he started to feel ecstatic. That so in this remembrance of whether it be Bhakti Tarusvami or somebody that's passed away to us, that remembrance is perfect. You can't take it away. But also when that remembrance becomes lamentation, it's in the mode of ignorance. You can't change it. So you have to look at these things. It's happened. There's nothing that can be done. It's been already done. So it's a mode of ignorance if we start to lament. Oh, this, if only this, if only that. And in the future, what am I going to do in the future without them? They're gone. Oh no, you know, it's my spiritual master who's passed away, all this sort of stuff. But it's not true. Because by doing service, and I remember Jayapataka Swami, he said that to somebody who was, when he was going through, he couldn't eat for a while, and he was being looked after in hospital, there was somebody, because Jayapataka Swami couldn't eat, they were not eating either. They thought, how can I eat when he's not able to eat? And it was like a sentiment. It was something. And when he came here, Jayapataka Swami, I asked him about this, what they'd said. And he said, if they really want to help me, they should preach. Go out and preach. He said, this will help me. This will help me in my illness or whatever's happening to me. This will really help me. So sentiment is no good. It won't help anybody. So, likewise, with personalities that have now left their vapu, we're now into the vani of remembering them. And this is the most important thing, that we remember those who can give us, as I remember Mother Kalangana all the time, about her instructions to me, always chastising me or always correcting me, always kind to me. But her kindness had two aspects. You know, it was strictness and also kindness. gentle, like a soft, like a rose, you could say. So there, but she never left me. She left all these things and advice that really have kept me going. And so what I'm referring to you now is my remembrance of those things that have helped me. And these things here, this Bhagavatam's helping us remember Krishna and his devotees and what they went through. And that how some here, somehow, in all adversity, what made them great was that their chastity, their positive approach, that they were fixed in their spiritual identity, how they were as a person, and that that what they'd been given was good for them. So surrendering to Krishna means that whatever's happening to us now is meant to be, it's good for us, and don't worry about it. Because Krishna says, when surrendering to me, he says, don't worry. He says, masujaha, isn't it? Don't worry. It's an instruction, actually. If we worry, that means we're thinking about me. So how can we surrender to somebody if I'm thinking about me? Krishna says, surrender to me and don't worry. That's a guiding instruction. Masujaha. Remember, I'm your well-wishing friend. And through Bhagavad Gita, you'll find all that. He's reassuring us. It's a message of his continuing love and the continuing ways we come closer to him. So this is a very powerful thing. We're just coming up to 8:30. It's sort of come away from the purport, but it also I'm just trying to give a purport to the purport that what's happening in terms of remembrance, how it's so powerful and how wonderful it can help us in our future devotional lives, because we learn from those who've done, you know, and they're all there here to help us as you help each other. You're helping each other to Krishna. No, you go first. You go first. That's our mood. Helping each other to Krishna. Then all our differences disappear. You know, we start to see each other with eyes of tolerance and patience and kindness. Because they're suffering. If somebody's angry with you, it's a sign of suffering. Suffering inside. My mother, she used to suffer like anything with her arthritis. She couldn't see the good in anything in the end because her body was suffering so much. She couldn't see the good. So this material body is definitely will stop us if we're not careful, if we don't realize that we have to tolerate the senses, that whatever's happening to the body, that we have to understand what Krishna's the message there. He says that we must learn to tolerate the inconveniences of the body. And that's really the message of remember Krishna's instructions and his devotees and how we can help each other, because it's good for everyone. So I think that's a bit out it, really. So we got time for maybe a question or so to do with this particular verse. Shall I read this verse? It was by the influence only in the fight I was able to astonish the personality of Godhead, God, Lord Shiva, and his wife, and his daughter, the Mount Himalaya. Of Mount Himalaya. Thus he, Lord Shiva, became pleased with me and awarded me his own weapon. Only other demigods also delivered their respective weapons to me. In addition, I was able to reach the heavenly planet in this present body and allowed and a half elevated seat. He was remembering how he was allowed. And that's Krishna's permission. Krishna was behind it. So this is his remembrance. This is how he's come close to Krishna at all times. Okay, thank you. So any comment, question? Is there a mic? Okay.
Hi,
oh,
Krishna.
You got it ready.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Parijana Prabhu, for your class. I just was in reference to the quote by Srila Prabhupada that you read, where he said, it's all part of Krishna's plan, so whatever you're doing, just do it with attention.
Yes. In
regards to, let's say, like situations where we make mistakes, or we don't do so well in our service, or we don't do so well in treating devotees, or even with our own self, can we say that's also part of Krishna's plan at that particular moment? Or
yeah. Well, how do you feel after when you make a mistake, or you argue with somebody, or you get angry? How do you feel after?
Down.
The what?
I feel really down. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
And this is that you could say it's your guiding instruction from within. And in Canto 1, here's Canto 1. The last, it's in the last chapter. King Parikshit, I think, was. Hold on, if I can get to it. It's the chapter 19, and it's text 1. It's a wonderful thing that says what happens when we remember our miss. King Parikshit, he put a snake round the sage's neck. And he was remembering this with great regret. He was, and so I'll just go to the verse 1 of that chapter. Do you know the wonderful thing is, there are certain things you remember when you learnt them when you were younger, and there's other things that when you learn in that stuff now, you can't remember anything. You know, somebody says, do this. And I can't remember. So while you've got this memory, keep that, because that you'll always remember that. That'll be part of you. But anyway, this was one of the verses that I remember. So if you can bear with me. Here it says, Suta Goswami said, while returning home, the king, Maharaj Parikshit, felt that the act he committed against the faultless, powerful Brahmana was heinous and uncivilized. Consequently, he was distressed. See, the sage was meditating at the time. And somehow, the influence of Kali or Parikshit senses, he became very thirsty. It was the influence of Kali. And then he said, oh, he was meditating. He's not taking any notice of me. So he put a snake around his neck as an act of revenge. And that sage's son cursed Parikshit. He'll die in 7 days. So here in this verse it says, Suta Goswami said, while returning home, King Maharaj Parikshit felt that the act he had committed was against a faultless, a powerful Brahmana, was a heinous and uncivilized. Consequently, he was distressed. King Parikshit became distressed at what he did out of his frustration and anger. And then Prabhupada says in his purport, the pious king regretted the accidental, improper treatment of the powerful Brahmana. He was faultless. Such repentance is natural for a good man like the king. And such repentance delivers the devotees from all sins accidentally committed. The devotees are naturally faultless accidental sins committed by a devotee are sincerely regretted. And by the grace of the Lord, all the sins unwillingly committed by a devotee are burnt in the fire of repentance. You have to be repentant. And what does repentance mean? It means that when you've done it, you say sorry. Oh, it's wrong. Sorry I got angry with you. Sorry this. That's an act of repentance. You have to follow through on it. For any mistakes, you must admit you're a fault. It's a position of humility that we have to take. So, this is the cure. It says that the repentance, the feeling of repentance, of accidentally committing, that it's the fire that burns up the accidental sins. It's the fire of repentance, regret. So it's got to be there. But if we say, no, I was right. No, it was okay. I shouldn't have done it, but you know, it's only a little thing. There's no repentance there. They can't be corrected. They cannot be corrected. So our pride will sometimes halt us from receiving the mercy. I was right. No. So beware of pride. Beware of this lack of humility. You know. So, and this is our reason we're in this planet, on this planet, is our pride. We've not been humbled. We have to be smashed, actually. Material energy is meant to smash us. That's its job. It's to make us cry for Krishna. That's its job. It's perfect, actually. It's a perfect place. It's a house of correction. If we can take it that way. And that's, if we take it as a student of this planet, and its reactions, then it's a wonderful thing. So I would say, yes, take it as a student. I've made a mistake. You know, the teacher doesn't, if you got a sum wrong, so what? You've got to learn that actually, my maths is not so good. Maybe I should improve. Maybe I should try and do better. You know, we brush up and practice on our maths where we got something wrong. You know. So, does that clarify the matter? Yeah, okay. Thank you. So that's a wonderful verse. First verse of chapter 19. The fire of repentance. So that's what's, yeah, okay. Any other questions? Comments?
Thank you for the nice class, Brajan.
Thank you.
In the translation it says, it was by his influence only that in a fight I was able to astonish the personality of God at Lord Shiva and Parvati.
Yes.
So if somebody... excels in any area or any activity, then what's the best method to be able to remember that it's only by his influence, the Krishna's influence, that it's happening? Because I know myself, sometimes I forget. I think I'm doing it. You know?
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because in this world... You're right. How can I remember that I'm not the doer? But actually, you're limited by your physical ability, your mental ability. We got physical limitations, which is based on the modes of material nature. And sometimes when Krishna says, don't worry, it means we're thinking that maybe I'm the doer. That I'm going to have to be careful here. if we start to feel that it's out of our control, and it is out of our control. We can only do what we're doing now. Like this class, I knew that it was out of my control. You know, what to speak of the doing the meter for Brahma Samhita, you know. But I asked some advice, and somebody gave me the tune beforehand, and so a little bit was came there. But I had to try, at least. And so we just do our best with what we got, because we got no more. That's what we say to our children, isn't it? When they go to an exam, did you do your best? Yeah. Oh, well, that's all you can give. It's good, for, you know. Otherwise, I remember we on the book table, there was this girl. She said, you got anything that'll give me peace? My parents are getting on my case because for my exams. And I've got a SWAT. And she was becoming really worried because the pressure by her parents for university and all that sort of stuff was terrible. She couldn't cope with it. And so when she saw this yoga, and then I said to her, well, actually, I said, you've got to be careful. Because you can get all qualified by what we call over-endeavor in spiritual life. But the trouble is, you could end up in a job you're not even capable of. You don't know your limits. So you best not to worry. Just do the best you can, and that's all you got. So this thing of getting qualified, and the qualification is a piece of paper in my hand, it's useless, because you'll find that I'll take you to a place you can't even do, you can't even cope with. So it's I'm trying to answer the question in such a way that we're limited. We're certainly limited, you know. And that's what I was trying to convey to her. So it sort of gave her another viewpoint. I don't know if it helped her, but it gave her another viewpoint. She needed another viewpoint. And whether it was helpful to her and helped her in her life, maybe she'll remember, maybe she won't. You know, that's not our job. To do it, but we give them Prabhupada's wonderful gift. We just try and share it, and that's it. Like you do, like yeah, I hear your exploits, but it's if we've got the intelligence at the time to speak to people, and that sharpness, and we can use it, do it. Because that's your quality. That's your quality. So it's like be satisfied. I don't know if it sort of answers the question, but that's all I can say. We've only got what we got. And if we're starting to get frustrated and hit up about it and worried, then we're not doing what Krishna says. Because he says, don't worry. You just, what can you do? Yeah. Masujaha. What the heck? That's what I think. And I don't like to speak to you about these things because you're guiding me all the time because of my shortcomings. You know, that's why I got that memory list. Because when we're in that ashram, there are certain things that I need to look at a list at so I can remember. And that's my way of remembering things now in old age. I have to jog my memory all the time. And I'd be constantly running through things. It's just knowing your limitations, actually. If you can know your limitations. But I don't know, it's time for breakfast. Yeah. Would you? Is there any more questions? Well, I don't know. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam Kisha, Srila Prabhupada Kisha, Srila Guru Maharaj Kisha.